So we're learning Parshas Kitzav and the Arachayim, and it's somewhat significant. You know, tonight, of course, is Zayin Adar, it's the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, well, maybe different shuls, I don't know. But anyway, it's the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zayin Adar, and some of the ideas that the Arachayim develops tonight have to do with the greatness and the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Thank you.
So they seem to be appropriate topics to talk about on Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. Starting about from the very beginning of the parasha, page Kuf Tzadi Hei, it says, Ve'ato Tetzavda. Ve'ato Tetzavda's B'nai Yisrael, the parasha opens up, now you should command the B'nai Yisrael, V'ikhoi lech Hashem and Zayizach Kosus Lamar. They should take for you pure pressed olive oil for illumination, Lahalos Ner Tomid, to kindle the lamps of the menorah constantly, continuously. So the Arachayim starts off asking as follows: Sarach lo das lo mahutzach lomar ve'ata achar she'imo hoya medabe. You know, the word ve'ata and you seems somewhat superfluous. I mean, the pastor could have said v'titzava es b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, titzava by virtue of the tof that's in the beginning, automatically implies that it's second person, that it's speaking to you. And furthermore, b'chlal, I mean, the whole, you know, the previous parasha, Tumah, has been addressed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why come back and repeat the word ve'ata? Old, furthermore, lama omar titzave v'lo tzav. Right? Why does it say titzave and not tzav? I mean, we oftentimes find tzav is b'nei Yisrael, command of the Jewish people. Right? Titzave seems to be an unusual form of the word, of the verb. Why not tzav, which is the more usual form?
No, it's titzave b'nei Yisrael.
Right, okay.
You need the Lashon Tzivui altogether.
Right, but the truth is, altogether we usually say daber b'nei Yisrael, right? Oh, lama amar Lashon Tzivui. And furthermore, this whole Lashon of Tzivui, of titzave, why is it used altogether? V'ato tedaber b'nei Yisrael, right? What do you mean, command the Jewish people? I mean, the truth is, the whole first phrase is somewhat superfluous when you think about it. All you have to say is something along the lines of Dabril b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu shem and zayizach, right? Or either, or, you know, tzavis b'nei Yisrael, v'kachu, kuchu, you know, v'yikhu. So I want to skip a little bit in the Arachayim to the left-hand column. And where it says, Od Yirmos, the Arachayim offers the following solution to these questions which he's raised. What's the meaning of the phrase, V'atot Tetzavis B'nei Yisrael? Od Yirmos, L'tzad Ki Giyas Man Tesa Kuhuna Le'Aron. You know, in the beginning of Tetzavah, we're going to read about how Aaron and his brothers, are set Aaron and his sons rather, are set aside to be the Kohanim, and the Big Day Kuhuna are granted to them. Now that the time has come to formally present the kahuna to Aaron, Borar Hashem L'Moshe HaMalchus. God said, I'm giving kahuna to Aaron, but I'm giving malchus, I'm giving kingship and royalty to Moshe. V'him licho al Yisrael. And he made him king over the Jewish people. As many of the Mepharshim explain, the pasuk at the very end of Chumash, V'hi v'shurin melech. You know, he was a king in Yeshurin, among Klal Yisrael, is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the melech, he was the king over the Jewish people. For who Amro? Titzaves b'nei Yisrael. When it says Titzaves b'nei Yisrael, it doesn't mean command the Jewish people in the sense of tell them the following command. But it means be the commander over the Jewish people. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, will be the commander-in-chief. You will lead the Jewish people. Al derech Amro, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, Vayitzaveyu Hashem l'nogid al amo Yisrael. God appointed him, the Lashon Tzivui is the Lashon of appointment, God appointed him to be a prince over the Jewish people. So the Ato Tetzavis B'nei Yisrael, says the Arachayim, is actually a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says, you shall lead the Jewish people. You shall lead the Jewish people. I know that this Sedra is going to be talking about Aaron and the Kohanim, and the Big Day Kahuna, and the role that the Kohanim play, and it's easy for Moshe Rabbeinu to sort of get shunted aside in all of that. But the parasha starts off by telling us, V'ato Tetzavis B'nei Yisrael, before we get anywhere, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should know that you are the leader of the Jewish people. You may not be the choice,
Right, you're not the kohen, but you're the leader. You're the melech. The agam should be eretz mitzrayim. Omer hakosuv leel vayitzavein el bnei yisrael. Upirashu shom shasal moslim ba'om. By the truth, it says the Arachayim. I already used a similar kind of explanation back in the beginning of Parshas Va'era. It's page Kuf Tzadi Hei in the.
The parshas are misprinted.
Yeah, I think some of them are misprinted. But Kutzani had the beginning of Pitzava. Now, says the Arachayim, I already gave a similar explanation of a pasuk back in the beginning of Va'era. It says that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron by Yitzavim el Bnei Yisrael, which usually is translated, He commanded them to the people of Israel, which is hard to just understand. What does that mean? So the Arachayim over there said, by Yitzavim is a lashon of Malchus. It's a lashon which implies leadership. God made Moshe and Aaron the leaders of the Jewish people. So, if that's true, it doesn't seem to go against a little bit what he's saying over here. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is the sole leader of the Jewish people. There in Vo'era, Moshe and Aaron are made leaders of the Jewish people. Can Yichid Moshe L'Malchus Yisrael V'Aaron Kohen? Here it's just, there it's just a little more general. Aaron and Moshe are the leaders. In what sense are they the leaders? Moshe is the king, the political leader. And Aaron is the Kohen, he leads in that capacity. V'ulai, and maybe, this notion of this shared leadership between Moshe and Aaron, ki lozen iskali mashama akosu va'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh. Maybe that's shot in the statement made to the Jewish people right before Matan Torah. You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Mamleches, a kingdom, Choser al Moshe. That's the reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the king. Kohanim, the priest, is Aaron Uvanov. The Goy Kadosh, and a holy nation, Elu Halavim. A little more. V'ulai, shir mos v'omro tiksav al derech omrom, ki kol talmid chacham yesh bo nitzotz minishmas Moshe. Right? He quotes an idea from the Zohar that he's quoted in earlier context as well. Every talmid chacham throughout the generation, says the Zohar, has a little spark of the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu in him. Right? Every Talmud Chacham has a little bit of Moshe Rabbeinu in him. Well, Azera will say to Hayukarim Zelosem Moshe, Ki hu zeh hamedaber bebechinas hanefesh al medes Torah. That's what we find. He quotes the Gemara in Sukkah that occasionally the Chachmei Talmud, when they thought that one of the other Chachamim was saying something particularly sharp, he would refer to that other Talmud Chacham as Moshe. Now that could be even if the name was Chia or Yochanan or whatever it happened to be, but in other words, by calling him Moshe, he was pointing to the fact that when a Talmud Chacham, acts as a Talmud Chacham, he's channeling, in a sense, a little bit of the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Hu Omro, the Ato Titzavre. So this is a different pshat. So when it says the Ato Titzavre is B'nai Yisrael, so previously the Arachayim had learned the Ato Titzavre, you will rule over the Jewish people, you will command the Jewish people. Here he says, V'ata, you Moshe Rabbeinu, Titzavre, al derech omro ki malocha v'yitzavilach, shuloshen savta, livui, l'ish Yisrael hanichvodim. The loshen Titzavre can also mean to accompany. V'ata Titzavre es b'nei Yisrael, so the Arachayim HaKadosh writes that there's a hint in this phrase to the idea of the Zohar, that every Talmud Chacham throughout the generations has a little bit of Moshe Rabbeinu in him. V'ato titzaves b'nei Yisrael, you will accompany those members of Klal Yisrael, you Moshe, will accompany those members of Klal Yisrael who continue to adhere to the ideas of learning Torah. U'kvar yodato ki in chashivos el ve'emtaos eisek ha-Torah. Who's a chashiv, a person who would deserve to be accompanied by Moshe Rabbeinu? Somebody who learns Torah? So if you add the titzave as B'nai Yisrael, you will accompany the Jewish people, right? Is a beautiful statement right here in the beginning of titzave. Moshe Rabbeinu never really dies. Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama, in some way or another, accompanies every Talmud Chacham throughout the generations. So then, again, so the Arachayim has to deal with the question, okay, so what does that have to do with the rest of the pasuk? The Atot Tzavus B'nei Yisrael, you will accompany every Talmud Chacham throughout the generations. But the pasuk goes on to talk about taking oil for the menorah. What's one got to do with the others? He says, no, you don't understand. Ki hu b'chinas ha-Torah shu'ar olam. Right? Taking oil for the menorah is a symbol of the dissemination of Torah, spreading the light throughout the world. When a person takes Shemen Zayit Zach, in other words, when he is a person who learns Torah and is marbits Torah, right? He learns Torah and he disseminates Torah. He is filling up his own menorah with the light of the oil, you know, the light of the menorah, the light of Torah. Such a person is ve'atatitzavis b'nei Yisrael. Such a person is zochet that Moshe Rabbeinu accompany him as he goes through life.
Torah
ora. Torah ora. Right.
What
do you mean?
Well, here we said that everybody has a
nitzos. Every time we talk about it, it's a nitzos of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. So, again, right here in this opening, beautiful piece, you know, it's as we said before, the Aruch Chaim is saying hespedim, so to speak, on Moshe Rabbeinu that are very appropriate for his yard site, which is tonight. Moshe Rabbeinu is being told at the beginning of the parasha, don't worry, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron and his sons may be kohanim, but you're still the melech. And don't worry, Moshe Rabbeinu, your legacy is an eternal legacy. Whenever a Jew takes for himself the Shemen Zayizach, whenever a Jew takes for himself the oil to light the menorah of Torah within himself and to spread the light of Torah far and wide, the Atzot Tzavis B'nei Yisrael, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, will accompany B'nei Yisrael throughout the generations by virtue of the fact that they're learning and teaching the Torah, which ultimately you, Moshe Rabbeinu, brought down to the Jewish people. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to start off the Sedra. Yeah.
I just want to try to understand Moshe Rabbeinu.
Why would I think that Moshe Rabbeinu would be jealous of Aaron HaKohen that he needs this pat on the back? You know, so to speak. I don't know that the Aruch Chaim is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu needed this to be told to him. But as long as the Parsha is being Osek and Aaron HaKohen and all the laws of Kohanim, it's important just to set the record straight. In other words, not that Moshe Rabbeinu needed the pat on the back, but just to set the record straight from the beginning. By the way, Moshe Rabbeinu, realize that you occupy an important position as well. Not to build you up, not to make you feel good, but just uvda, you know, that's the fact. You know, that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, have this unique role to play in Klal Yisrael.
It's like an affirmation.
Right, right, he affirms it. Right. Let's take it one step further. The bottom of that same page, Kuftzai Yivav, Uvederech Remes. Right? So, again, the Aruch Chaim now is talking about the continuation of the Pasuk where it talks about Yikhu Yilach Hashem and Zayizach. He says a beautiful thing over here. Yisbara Akasav Aderech Maim Ahuva B'Sefer Zohar Chodosh. Sefer Zohar Chodosh writes the following idea: Ki David Goliath Shel Yisrael, Kol Echad Mehem Nigalu Mimenu B'Sechus Echad. There is one great person who provided the schus to redeem the Jewish people from each of the four Goliaths that we found ourselves in, each of the four exiles. Goliath Harishon Nigalu B'Sechus Avraham Avinu Alav Hashalom. Days Nigalu B'Sechus Yitzchak, Gimel B'Sechus Yaakov. Right, Bavel, Paras and Yavon, we were redeemed through each, you know, from each of those Goliaths through the Avos HaKadoshim. V'ha-Revius Toloi B'Zechus Moshe. And this Golias that we're in now, however, is going to be brought to an end in the Zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lozen is Arich HaGolias. That's why it's taking so long, says the Zohar HaKadosh. Why? Ki kol ochein oskin batara v'mitzvus ein Moshe chofes ligol am batlona min haTorah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is identified with the Torah and Mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, they all predate the giving of the Torah and the obligatory nature of Mitzvahs. Okay, Avraham Avinu, Kiyem Kol Torah Kula. But yet Moshe Rabbeinu is identified with Torah in a way in which the Avos are not. You know, the Avos are identified. Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, you know, they're all different Midos that they're identified with. But Moshe Rabbeinu is identified with Torah. And when it comes to a geula, which will be brought about by the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to deserve it through our clinging to Torah. And as he puts it, Moshe Rabbeinu takes a look at the Jewish people and says, these guys? You want me to help redeem these guys? These guys don't learn, right? You know, I'm all about Torah. How can I bring about a salvation for people who are just not devoted to the Liman HaTorah? That's what he says. I'm sorry? Yeah, I guess Moshe Rabbeinu to an even greater extent, you know, is, just associated with Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, right? וזהו שרמס הקוסם כאן באומרו, ועתו תצאבס בני ישראל, על דרך כי מלאכו יצאבה, ועל דרך אומרו מן צאבה למלכוס, קרחים נוח עלינו לאוסיד, ותנאי הוא אדוב שיעסקו ישראל בתורה. This idea of the Zohar HaKadosh, says the Arachayim, is hinted at in this entire pasuk. First phrase in the pasuk, V'ato tetzavis b'nei Yisrael, you Moshe Rabbeinu, will either rule over the Jewish people, or accompany the Jewish people. The two pshatim that he gave in tetzava in the last piece, come through over here as well. But here, he's using it in a slightly different fashion. When is Moshe Rabbeinu going to rule over, or accompany the Jewish people? Previously we understood that he's going to rule over the Jewish people in the time that he was alive, in his lifetime. And he would accompany the Jewish people throughout history, you know, in the guise of a nitzotz, in the body of every Talmud Chacham. But here, says the Arachayim, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lead or accompany the Jewish people out of Golus. It's a reference to the coming of Moshiach. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, his schus, will accompany us out of Golus, or will lead us, you know, lead over us to get us out of Golus. But when and only when? Only if. Only when we take pure olive oil. What's pure olive oil? Yirmo Zel HaTorah. Shnim Shnul HaShemen. That's a reference, it's a homiletic hint at the idea of Torah, which is compared to oil. Ma'ashemen Meir La'olam, Kach HaTorah. Right? Just as the oil lights up the world, so too the Torah lights up the world. And thus the pasuk is really hinting at this idea from the Zohar HaKadosh. When will the Atat Tzavis B'nai Yisrael, when will the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu enable us to reach the Geula? When people devote themselves properly to learning and disseminating Torah, that's when we'll be Zoha to have Moshe Rabbeinu's Schus work for us. V'dikdek lomar Zoch. It says that the oil has to be pure. What does that mean? Shetzrichim la'asod b'taru l'shma. B'lishmarim, she'en l'kantar chas v'sham, o'lizgadu v'chadome, e'lehen shmareho. The oil has to be pure, the Torah has to be pure. The Torah we learn has to be pure. It has to be l'shma. It can't have any dregs. What would be the dregs of Torah learning? Right? For a person to learn Torah to show up other people. For a person to learn Torah in order to waltz around and tell everybody that he's the greatest Talmud Chacham who ever lived and walked the earth, and everybody else, you know, they can just, they don't know what they're talking about. Right? A person learns with those kinds of intentions, you know, so it's not Shem and Zayizoch. We need Shem and Zayizoch to bring us to the Geula. The Omar Od Kosis, the Shemen, the oil, has to be pressed. Pirush, what does that mean, homiletically? Shetzrich la'asad b'tor l'chakes kufa l'kocham. Al derech omar zosat Torah odom kiyomus. Right? Just as the oil has to be squeezed out of the olive, it has to be pressed, so too the Torah which we learn, which is true Torah, has to be Torah which we learn when we're squeezed, when we exert ourselves in the study of Torah. Right? That's the kind of Torah which is going to bring the Geula. The pasuk goes on to say that you have to take pure pressed olive oil lamor for illumination. This is also explained homiletically. Ki chavim b'shemen zayis lahoyer lamor liyachadov b'machon. So, during the time of Golus, the ma'or hakatan, right, the moon has been diminished. What does that mean? Well, because we know from the beginning of creation, the sun and the moon were originally the same size. God was memayit the levana. He shrunk the levana down. It only gives a fraction of the light that it gave once upon a time. When the Geula takes place, the pasuk says we said in Kiddush Levana just a few days ago, v'hi or ha'levana k'or ha'chama. We look forward to the time that the light of the moon is going to be restored to the same size as the light of the sun. Now, all of that, of course, is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Ultimately, Klal Yisrael are compared to the levana. The fact that the levana has been diminished in the Golus, but will be restored to its full glory in the Geula, symbolic of Klal Yisrael. Lama or
Right? The choice of the word ma'or is very deliberate, says the Arachai, because of course ma'or is the term which the Torah uses in the beginning of Bereishis in describing the two luminaries, the sun and the moon. Right? So, kosis la ma'or, that we take the crushed olive oil, la ma'or, it's not just for illumination generally, but we're learning Torah in this galus in the hope that it will reestablish the ma'or, the luminary, the moon, the klal yisrael, which represents, you know, which is represented by the ma'or hakata, which is represented by the levana. You know, we are hoping that that will be reestablished through the Torah which we learn. Here he references obliquely the following idea. If Klal Yisrael is the Mar HaKotan, right, is the moon, which has been diminished in this galus, what's the sun, which remains pristine through and a source of light throughout the galus? He says the Mar HaGadol, the sun, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, who remains constant throughout the galus. And yet even the Ma'ar HaGadol, even the sun, even the Ribbono Shel Olam, is impacted upon Kivyachol by our galus. Because after all, that's what it says. God himself, Kivyachol, goes into galus when the Jewish people are in galus. So as we spread Torah, we are helping reestablish the moon, and we are even contributing in some way beyond our comprehension to the establishment of the sun. The Amru Lahalos Ola Tomid, the Tomid Zeh Ein Lo Shir, Lotosha Vodava Od Vahoyalo Hashem Laor Olam. When it says that, you know, at the end of the pasuk, that what do we hope to accomplish through the study of Torah in this galus? We want to Lahalos Ner Tomid. We want to bring about an illumination of the light eternally. So that eternal that we're talking about over here, you know, it's not just continuously, the way the pasuk is usually translated, as the menorah is constantly burning. But Talmud over here means eternally. Right? That the effects of our Torah learning are going to be eternal. They are going to bring about eternity. The Olam Haba, Yemos HaMashiach. V'ulai shekiving od lomar lamor lahalos ner Talmud ki amor agodo yale haner Talmud al derech omer nishba Hashem v'im eten es degonech v'hayis rak lamalo. Again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to be, again, kivyochol, helped out, you know, by the fact that we are, you know, learning Torah in this galus. Again, a beautiful, clearly homiletic, it's not the positive shot of the pasuk, but a beautiful remez that he's tying into this idea that ultimately it's going to be Torah study, which is going to bring us out of this galus and, you know, grasping the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu, which, you know, we're thinking of, which we need so desperately to get us out of galus. Again, you know, an appropriate message on the yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu, that is ultimately his schus, which is going to be responsible for bringing about the final geula. Yeah.
So, if you said that that Moshe would come to the Kulatai, the Kulatai,
right, so in other words, how do you fit the Archaim into the idea that from Chazal that sooner or later, you know, the gula is going to come one way or the other, in a Dorshe Kulo Chayev, you know, or something like that. So I'm not sure, but I think there is death. You know, again, we're only going to really understand the nature of how Mashiach comes when he comes. But there definitely, I think it's definitely possible to say that, you know, that idea of Be'ita Achishen is not agreed upon by everyone, even in the Rishonim. And perhaps the Archaim is reflecting that as well. I mean, the Rambam Paskins, Ein Yisrael Nigolin Elo B'Tshuva. Right? That's how the Rambam Paskins. The Jewish people will only be redeemed through Tshuva. Right, which would seem to run counter to that famous Maimon Chazal, Be'ita Achishena, right? Because, so what happens? By the way, Rav Soloveitchik got a beautiful insight into that Rambam. He said, wait a minute, so Ein Yisrael Nigolin Elo B'Tshuva, and yet the Rambam wrote that one of the 13 Ikrim is that we believe in the coming of Mashiach. L'chora, if Mashiach is only going to come about when we do Tshuva,
there is, I mean, it's scary to think about, but there is the possibility that we will never do tshuva and Mashiach will never come. So how can the rabbi make it one of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah that we believe in the coming of Mashiach? In theory, that shouldn't work. So the Rav said, you have to understand, the Rambam was really telling us an Ikar Emunah about our belief in Klal Yisrael. Part of our belief, as part of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah, is that we believe that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Right? In other words, it's not shayich that the Jewish people at some point or another will not do tshuva. It may take a little longer, it may take, you know, maybe faster, maybe shorter, right? But ultimately, part of our emunah, you know, part of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah is that the Jewish people are going to do tshuva, and mimela, you know, we believe that Mashiach is going to come, right? But it's, in a sense, it's a statement of faith in the Jewish people.
Just out of curiosity, what descendants of the Jewish people have to do tshuva? All of them?
I guess everybody. So I guess we have a lot of faith.
Just the
majority. You know, I don't know. I don't know if say Rubel Kekula. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, that's the Hashem. You know, the we'll see in the proper time.
The question is, how much do you have to do? Everyone is on the same majority. So if you take everyone in the world, something would be less, some more. So
I guess the fourth is we'll try to do our best and we'll try to push it as far as we can, and we'll see what can happen. Okay, another similar comment the Arachayim makes a little bit later on in that same page, the beginning of Chav Ches. Right? So after these two psukim in the beginning of the parasha that talk about taking the oil for the menorah, so the parasha now begins talking about the big day kahuna. The ata hakrei velechetz Aaron achicha v'sbonav ito, and you bring close to you Aaron your brother and his sons with him l'cha anoli in order to be kohanim to me. And here too, the Archaim is bothered by the opening line, which seems to be very similar to what he dealt with a few moments ago. Tam Omro Ve'ata. Again, why does it say Ve'ata? Hakre V'lechos Aaron Ochicho. Right? I mean, why does it have to say Ata? And Gam Omar Loshen Hakrova. What's the Loshen Hakrova? Bring Aaron close to you. Again, that whole phrase seems to be superfluous. You know, give them begotten, give them big day kahuna. What do you mean, bring Aaron to you? Yeah, of course, if you're going to give him big day kahuna, you know, you're probably not going to throw it to him from the other side of a football field, right? You're going to bring him close to you. Right? So why is the need to say that? And what's gam omar tevas eilecha? What does it mean, bring him close to you? Bring him close. Right? What's eilecha? Yitzbar al derech omram zal. You can understand this statement of the Torah based on the famous statement of Chazal, you know, Rashi brings in his commentary to Chumash, Ki HaKohuna L'Moshe Ha'itza L'mona. Originally, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give the Kohuna to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. El Etzah Shemein L'Lechus B'Tvar Hashem Achar Kalat Ba'amim Chara Hashem Ba Ve'Siru Mikviras HaKohuna Ba'omru Halo Aron Ochicha Levi Pirush Shahoyo Levi Ve'achshav Nas the Kohen Ad Kan. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with the Ribbono Shel Olam by the snap, you know, 7 days, and finally, at the end of the 7 days, Ribbono Shel Olam said, look, you don't want to go? Alright. You used to be a Kohen, now you're Ois Kohen. Right? I take it away from you. Right? I'm going to give it to your brother Aaron. Aaron originally was just supposed to be the Levi, you were supposed to be the Melech, you were supposed to be the Kohen, you were supposed to be everything. Now I'm going to take the Kohen away from you and give it to Aaron. Right? The very famous Maimer Chazal, again, which Rashi quotes. So that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam came to Moshe Rabbeinu when it was time to actually designate Aaron as the Kohen, you know, to make the formal induction ceremony. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, he stresses Ve'ato, and you, Pirish, lo litzad shani mitzav chol levad. I don't want you to make Aaron the Kohen begrudgingly. I don't want you to look at this as, oh my gosh, I could have been this. I mean, again, Moshe Rabbeinu was on a high madrega, but at the same time, yeah, almost any human being, you know, forced to induct Aaron into a post that was supposed to be his, almost any human being would feel a certain something, call it regret, call it, I don't know what you want to call it, jealousy, right? You know, Moshe Rabbeinu would feel something, there would be some twang of something, you know, as he helped Aaron HaKohen, you know, get into his big day kahuna. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to make Aaron a Kohen, not just because you have to. I want you to do it, Elo Gama Tom Yitzhar Atzmecha. I want you to do it because you feel for the Simcha of Aaron a Kohen. I want you willingly and happily to induct him into his duties as Kohen Gadol, even as you know that this is something that was yours, that was taken away from you. Hakrev es Aaron b'mekomcha. Take Aaron, bring him close, meaning bring him to the position that's yours, right? Bring him to what should have been yours. The Tasa Hadover Ki'ilu Atochofix Bo. And I want you to smile while you do it, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to get the feeling that you embrace this. Kizelucha b'mekom ka. Why? I, it's hard. I, how can you do such a thing? Kizelucha b'mekom karbon l'kapara. Because this will be your atonement. This will be your atonement for the fact that you were so insolent as to not listen to Hashem when He sent you on the shlichus. The happiness that you feel for Aaron is going to be your kapara before the Ribbono Shel Olam to absolve you of that sin.
Well, before we got these two sentences, I had a different thought. When it comes, this is the brother, but when it comes to the Talmud with Yeshua, there's a phrase like, give over your splendor.
Right. Something like that.
Yes. Hold it. So, I've always thought that that was an example of Moshe Rabbeinu's deep modesty, that he didn't even question, what do you mean to give? You could give over someone, you could accompany them, you could help them progress in their giving, but to give over your splendor, so... but that was before we got these two sentences that this is a kapara. So the two are not related, one being the brother, one being the Talmud, where of whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was about, he gives over...
See, I think the case of Yeshua is a very different case. When Moshe Rabbeinu appoints Yeshua to be his successor, in a sense, a good successor reflects well, a good Talmud reflects well the Rebbe.
Yes.
Right? A Talmud, you know, achieves, you know, greatness, so the Rebbe is proud of him. You know, a child achieves greatness, the father is proud of the child. Because, you know, that reflects well on the parent, on the teacher, right? Yeshua is great. That, in a certain sense, that's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is being reflected
there. It's not Yeshua bringing something, it's Hashem directing Moshe to give over something.
Right, but what does it mean to give over? You meaning the same way, Chabal used this Moshe, I think, you know, that when you light a candle from another candle, the first flame doesn't go out. Right? Flame is transferable. Right? When Moshe Rabbeinu gives his glory to Yeshua, it's not as if it goes away from Moshe Rabbeinu and goes on to Yeshua. Right? In other words, his glory is an extension of Moshe Rabbeinu's glory. But here, with Aaron and Moshe, Aaron's getting the kahuna means Moshe loses the kahuna. Right? It's an either-or proposition. It's not like the candle.
Thank you very much.
So that's, you know, you could, I mean, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's tzaddik that he was, but, you know, you got to imagine there's a little bit of something down there. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, yeah, I want you to be happy because that will be your kapara.
And was it indeed Uzzah? Of course, Chabad tells us, yes, it is. They are Chabad brothers. But or did he just stand up for what he, Moshe Rabbeinu, believed in?
Right, but Chazal are critical of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the fact that the kohen is taken away from Moshe and given to Aaron is an expression of divine displeasure. I mean, the pasuk by Charaf Hashem b'Moshe.
Yeah.
Right, you know, God became angry at Moshe.
It's not the only time.
Right. The Amru Eilecha, and that's what it says, the Ato, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all of your heart, Hakrev, bring him close, Eilecha, to you. What's Eilecha? L'kaparoscha. Don't just bring him geographically close to you. Bring him close, Eilecha, on your account, in a way which will be mechaper for you.
Forgive me, Rabbi, but I'm thinking King of Knowledge, and I was a little bit, we know that Moshe's name does not appear in this sefer, because again, he's arguing with Hashem.
Why is he arguing with the Rosh? On the Chenin on the Sifra Chasher Kosavta. Right, but there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know, that I'll absolve the Jewish people of the Chet HaRegel,
so
mostly.
How is his resistance, if you will, or Moshe's argument here with the Boreal, how is that different from Sinai, where they spent a week in the
back? So it's a good question. You know, Chazal seemed to indicate that there's certain times where God wants human beings to challenge him. And that you know, by the Chet HaEgel, you know, Chazal famously dashed, it says, Ve'ato hanicholi. Right, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, leave me alone. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chazal say that, you know, in saying that, there was sort of a backhanded way of saying, don't leave me alone, you know, reverse psychology, right? If you leave me alone, I'll go destroy them. But I don't want you to leave me alone. I want you to argue. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam is encouraging a certain argument. Rav Schwab Zecher Tzadik Livracha said that whenever the Pasuk talks about God coming down, it that's what it means. And when God comes down, it means that He opens up the door for questions and arguments. Sometimes He opens it up, sometimes He doesn't, right? Just like the teacher. Sometimes the teacher says, okay, we're taking questions now. Sometimes the teacher doesn't take questions, right? So in other words, you know, sometimes it's welcome, sometimes it's not welcome, right? So every, you know, you have to size up the situation. And Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, the snap was a non-question period at that point already. So for Moshe Rabbeinu to keep Shepard, you know, more and more and more and more, the Boshlo says, look, I closed the floor to questions. What are you bothering me already? Any questions? So for Omar Elecho, the Kaparotcha, that's what the Pasuk says, V'ato HaKrev Elecho, bring Aaron to you, for you. The Hakrivus Aaron, Yitei Lo Gedulaso, when he brings Aaron close, meaning he close in the sense that he gives him what that which was Moshe Rabbeinu's. Eimachal Karban Gadol Mizeh. Right? There can't be a greater carbon than that. That in its own right is profound. Right? But he goes on. He doesn't stop. Od Yirmos Ba'omer Hakrev Elecho. Right? It's also hinted at in this pasuk as follows. Ki Al Yedei Chet Ha'odah. Ki Al Yedei Chet Ha'odah Misrachei Tuchinas Anath Nishmosa Shekineged Oso Anath Shebo Chata Mishorsho HaGadol Figadlo HaGadol Figadlo V'Hakatan V'Chule. Whenever a person sins, a certain part of his neshama, which corresponds to that sin, becomes distanced from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So consider Moshe Rabbeinu. Hinei v'emsos ha'tzoros she'ipser b'shluchos Hashem garlis rachakus anof echad mi'afin yishmasu mishorisha. When Moshe Rabbeinu was there at the snare, trying to resist God's command to go down to Mitzrayim, in doing so, the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu, on some level, distanced a certain part of his neshama from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, God punished him by taking away the kahuna, but still, still, as long as Moshe Rabbeinu hasn't been, you know, even after the punishment, that part of Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is still distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Moshe Rabbeinu over here. When you make Aaron the Kohen, and you bestow that upon him, not only will you be punished, but you will be restored. Your neshama will come back to where it was before. That's what it says, and you bring close to yourself. Not bring Aaron close to yourself, but Pirush Hakrev LaAtzmecha Pirush LeChinas HaShulchok VeAmsos HaChetaru. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu, through this act, you will come back to the you who is truly you.
Self-restoration.
Yeah, you will come back to yourself. VeAtzah Hakrev Elecha. You will now bring yourself back to who you were formerly. VeNiskaven Hashem LoDiel Kizel Tikuna. The Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that by this act of being so selfless in appointing Aaron to be the Kohen, that would totally be misakin, it would totally fix, it would rectify whatever spiritual defect was present in Moshe Rabbeinu. An unbelievable pshat. Yeah.
It should be related to the carbon.
Right, and the truth is, I don't think it draws the analogy, but I mean, it's talking about carbon. Right, I mean, and it fits beautifully with the very Lashon HaPosuk. Hakriv Eilecha, you know, hakriv, you know, be makriv yourself, you know, in this process. Said the Archayim, u'mizani maskel al davar shom mizal v'sof brachos. You know, and based on this, I understand full well a idea that the Mishnah says at the end of brachos, and here the Archayim branches out to something which goes far beyond the parsha, and hopefully can be a source of chizik to people undergoing difficult times. Chayiv Adam levarich al hara k'shem shemavarich al tova. Right? Famous Mishnah, brachos, the person is obligated to make a bracha over bad things, the same way that he makes a bracha over good things. Right? Over bad things, over good things, he makes a bracha atov ha-native, over bad things, he makes a bracha taino emes. So, we read the Mishnah simply, it just said, you know, the impression you have is, well, there's a bracha for bad things, there's a bracha for good things. But the Gemara goes even, that in its own right is astounding, right? But the Gemara goes even further. The Gemara says, Mefarsh b'Gemara, l'kabel hara b'simcha, k'shev sh'soneach b'tovcha. Adkat, says the Gemara, k'shev, right? You know, just as is an expression of the emotional state of the person. The same way that you bench hatov v'hametiv with simcha, you bench zayin ha'emes b'simcha. That's not a chassidus shavat. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says that. You make the bracha of dayin ha'emes b'simcha.
Hatov
v'hametiv.
But in this world, we're not in a
madriga,
and we can't make a bracha, the
big
bracha
we're making a lot of
halatot.
Right, but what that seems
still bad. The fact that maybe you should be thinking, but you're still not going ahead and making the same bracha as you make a halatot.
True, but what the Gemara seems to be saying, and again, it's easy to say, it's a hard thing to implement, but I reckon this strikes me as bad. But I'm so happy about this bad thing. Loss of love, it will strike me as good. Right now, it strikes me as bad. Right? In other words, I would describe this as a bad thing. Right? But this bad thing fills me up with a sense of joy. Now, comes the Arachayim and he says, if you think this is a hard thing to live up to, you're not the only one. The Arachayim says, how on earth are you supposed to say, what kind of... You know, and the Gemara doesn't say it as, you know, and this is for extraordinary people. The Mishnah says, you, common Jew, are obligated to make a bracha al hara kishem shmevarich al hatova, and zok the Gemara doth make the simcha. So how on earth is, I mean, this would be a tall order for tzaddikim, how on earth is the average Yosef, you know, supposed to make the bracha of dayin ha'emes b'simcha? How could it be? Right, so that happens to be there's a long Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos right there in the ninth parak of Brachos, where the Rambam talks about it. And at the end of the day, it's a shver kasha. I mean, how are you supposed to summon up feelings of happiness and joy when you experience something which is evil, which is bad? So I think I can explain this since the Arachayim, based on what I just told you over now with Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. Hinei ha'yesurim. Hey, makrivim anfei haneshama shahoyu rechokim mishorsham. You know what yisurim and suffering in life do? They allow a person to reconstruct the broken parts of his neshama. Yisurim are a kapara. So when a person experiences yisurim in this world, his neshama, which formerly had been broken down and had lost some of its luster due to chet, Yisurim restored the neshama to its previous glory. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu over here was, you know, he had this somewhat of a chait in that he had been chutzpahdik, you know, relatively speaking, vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, and his act of self-sacrifice of happily bringing Aaron HaKohen to be a kohen, happily bringing his brother Aaron to be a kohen, that was a kapara that served to atone for the sin that he had committed. So in Mela he was happy. Right? So says the Arachayim, that's true for each and every one of us. Right? When we experience Yisurim, that cleanses the Neshama. She'ein l'chom ra umar, ka'oz was Hashem elokav. There is nothing worse in life than when a person's Neshama grows distant from Hashem. Uve'emtsos ha'yisurim yiskarei ha'rochok. And through Yisurim, the Neshama is brought back to what it was before. So if you realize this, again, for the average person, when something, I mean, not just the average person, the ordinary person, when something bad happens, you say, oh my gosh, that's terrible. But said the Arachayim, no, when a person suffers, that's cleansing the neshama. So this temporary pain is bringing the person back to, you know, is saving this person from much greater evils that would ensue if the neshama was far from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mashma Ma'ado Vedoma, the guy goes to the doctor, right? And the doctor has an injection which is going to cure up some disease that he has. And the doctor says, you know, this is going to hurt, you know, for a minute, right? But you're makabel the pain for simcha, right? Because that pain that you had for a moment, that's, you know, that's your salvation. You know, that's what's going to save you from, you know, the machalot, rachmat al islam, you know, that the person has.
It's like in literal terms, this is like a catharsis.
Yeah, right, right. Release. Right, right, exactly.
The Rambam seems to be saying that the sermon itself are not enough,
I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure if the Or HaChaim is saying that. Because certainly in this context, not in the context of Moshe of Aaron, but in the context of the average person, I think the Or HaChaim is saying like this. Yisurim fundamentally are a kapara. So once you realize that, you should be the simcha when you get the Yisurim, because after all, this is a kapara. I don't think he's saying that the simcha is the tnai in the kapara. He's saying that the simcha will be the natural result of getting the kapara.
Yeah.
I think that's how he's putting it. Right, but not oust the kapara. In other words, once you realize this, you know, this will help you get to that state of simcha because you realize that the yisurim that are coming about are kapara. Right, but I don't know if the Or HaChaim is saying that part of the model necessarily transfers over. I agree, the context of Moshe and Aaron, I think he is saying that. But I don't know if he's saying that automatically, you know, for every case. He's just saying, you know, there are different kaparas for different people, but if you realize that Yisurim in general is a kapara, you'll be besimcha, you know, while contemplating that thing. Right, the Omar, the Osisa b'tei kodesh l'chavu l'seferes, right, and that's the continuation of the pasuk. Right, the pasuk after saying that you Moshe Rabbeinu will bring Aaron close, it says you'll make holy garments for him. Right, you'll make the b'tei kodesh l'chavu l'seferes, right, for glory and for splendor. Shehem heim simoni hasimcha shiare shechafetz b'davu l'foaro, asher zehu sonoi la'osa adavu mitzara hechrech. Right? Why will you make... What's the point of the pasuk telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to put these clothes on Aaron, l'chavod l'siferes, as a source of splendor? Because what's that's describing, not just don't just take these begun and kind of throw them on him. Dress, you know, when you dress somebody in a way that makes you happy, there's a certain way you do it. Right? Dress him in a way that suggests chavod and tiferes, because that will be the sign that you were truly doing this b'simcha. You know, that Moshe Rabbeinu was really embracing this idea that Aaron is taking his place. Right? The Ribbon Shel Olam wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be the one to personally take charge of making these big day kahuna, you know, l'chavod l'siferes, in order to bring about this kapara from Moshe Rabbeinu. He's being the daik in the pasuk, right? In other words, the pasuk says, the osisa v'gdei kodesh l'aron ochicha l'chav l'sefes. I think the way most of us read the pasuk is, you Moshe Rabbeinu should see to the making of these clothes. That's not what it says in the pasuk. It says, you, the osisa, singular, you shall make these clothes.
He's the tailor.
You shall make these clothes. Right? Because it's not enough that Aaron's going to step into your shoes. And it's not, sandals, whatever. It's not enough that Aaron is going to, you know, that you will induct him. You'll make the clothing for him. Mamish, everything down to the line. Give of yourself to Aaron HaKohen. That's going to be the kapara. The davar zeh hu bechinas neshama l'neshama b'ikar ma'aseh zeh. You are, you know, bringing about this tremendous simcha. Right? It could be that the Osisa Bigde Kodesh means you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you personally go out there, you get the materials, you tailor the clothing, you do everything. I the Hagam Shashanu Big Day Kohanim Boy Mishal Tzibur. So they asked me a kasha. It says in the Mishnayos and Yuma that the Big Day Kohuna are, you know, made from communal funds, not from, you know, there's no private donor. Right? But it is true that a private person can make the Big Day Kahuna and then give them, you know, donate them to the Tzibur for the Tzibur's usage. It's just that the Big Day Kahuna can't perpetually belong to an individual. It can't be on permanent loan from somebody for the Kahana. They have to belong to the Tzibur, but they could be made by an individual and then given over to the Tzibur, right? So maybe a Kamoke and Siva Hashem Lassos, maybe that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told upon to do. You give. You make the Gozdim, you get the material, you tailor them, you give them to Aaron, and then that will be the true kapara for you, that you've walked away from this with tremendous, with tremendous self-sacrifice. In life, you know, from time to time, people are called upon to make these kinds of sacrifices. It's not just Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Imagine the following scenarios. It's not, you know, you don't have to imagine that far. Two people are, you know, at different points in their lives, courting the same woman. Hopefully not at the same time, right? But in other words, a guy's going out with a girl, and he really thinks it's going to work out, and she dumps him. And then it happens that she takes up with his best friend right afterwards. It works out, they get married, you know? So how does the first guy react? Sometimes the first guy could react, okay, I guess it didn't work out for me, it worked out for you. But, you know, oftentimes it's a very big misayin for that person to walk away from what he thought was his shidduch. Right? And there could be friendships that are broken over that kind of scenario. Right? Well, to take another example, two people from the same yeshiva, from the same company, whatever it is, are going out for the same position. Right? Two guys in yeshiva, a slot opens up in the yeshiva for a makid shir, and two chavrusas, best of friends, are being considered for the slot. One of them's going to get it, one of them's not going to get it. The one who doesn't get it, how does he react towards the person who got that slot? Who pushed him out, essentially. Right? Again, even if he didn't try pushing him out, but the very nature of the competition, one of them's going to get it, one of them's not going to get it. Right? You could be resentful, or you could say, I'm going to be like Moshe, handing over everything to Aaron. I'm going to do it for you. Right? Two people go out for a rabbinic position. Two people are in a company, and you know there's a slot for vice president that opens up. And two very close people are considered for the same slot. I mean, you know, the scenario repeats itself many, many times over. You know, two people, you know, are bidding on the same apartment. They desperately each want that particular apartment, that house, whatever it happens to be. Right? There are many, many situations in life where the best of friends are made into competitors to one another. And someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. How do you lose? Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us at the beginning of Pashas Tetzaveh how to be a graceful loser. Right? Not just, all right, so I won't firebomb his house. Right? It's more than that. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu Mamash, he goes, he prepares the begotten for Aaron. He's Malbish Aaron the begotten. He does everything for him. It's, you know, he just walks away from the situation and says, okay, this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. This will be my kapara. Right? You know, it's easy to sit here in a parsha shir and, you know, present such an idea. In real life, when these situations come up, as inevitably they do in life, you know, to walk away from something that you thought was yours is one of the biggest nisyonos in the world.
But to congratulate the person.
Right, not just to walk away, to congratulate the person, and not just, yeah, okay, right, grace to Shekoyach, you bleepity bleep bleep bleep, right? But to really, you know, to feel his simcha, and to be happy that he, you know, achieved this, even though it means that you didn't get it. Right, it's a tremendous madrega. Yeah. Right. Right, but on the other hand, remember, what's the kahuna? It's not just okay, I have my role, you have your role. You know, the kahuna is serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Avodas HaKorbanos. That was the Bukhara. You know, that's what Yaakov Avinu was so anxious to buy from Esav HaRosho, right? In other words, Nishku Kein Azach, you know? Right. Okay. Sometimes it could be a bigger nisayon, but you know what? We can still learn it from the example of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, if we could take 50% of what Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us in this regard, we'd be pretty well off. Also,
even 1%,
right? So that's the Archaim is telling us again on the yard side of Moshe Rabbeinu. you know, part of the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu is to know how to lose, you know, not just to be a, you know, not just to be a good sport, as they say, but to mamish be so given over to the other person, you know, in a way which is in many ways superhuman. You understand why Moshe Rabbeinu was onov mikol ha'adam, asher al pnei
ha'adam. But it's not losing; we just meant.
Okay, tell that to the loser. Right? Tell that to the loser. Right? Okay. I wish everybody a good Shabbos.
Thank you so much.